Good morning, friends. Welcome to Together Run 11. I am excited that you are here today. And guess what? We have a guest host, I guess, for this running for real run together run today. Too many runs in one sentence. And I'm excited. So to give you a bit of background, many of you who are in the Running for Real Superstars community know David from, you would have seen his posts, you would have seen him just being very engaged. He's the member of the community who keeps me updated on how things are going. And he's also a dear friend. And he had been giving me some advice, some feedback on the Together Run since the very beginning, helping me to improve. And I really noticed the difference. I suggested to him one day that he should do one, and he did. And I loved it. So here we are today. You have a Together Run with David, and I think you are really going to enjoy it. So if you haven't already done your warm-up, or if you have already done your warm-up, you're going to have an extra warm-up today. He is going to add a warm-up into this one. But let's pass it over to David.
Welcome to another one of Tina's famous Together Runs. As you probably noticed, it doesn't sound quite like Tina today, but my name is David and I'm a Danish guy who lives in Spain at the moment. If you're a member of the Facebook group, I'm sure you're familiar with me. I tend to pop up there every now and again. But if not, yeah, I became friends with Tina a couple of years ago when she had a competition about winning a book, and I signed up for it and I won, and we've been touch ever since then. Over the years, she's been giving me lots of great advice about running, and one thing she's really made me focus on is the mental side. That has been one of my big interests. How can we improve as runners? So she suggested I do one of these Together Runs with you today, and which is a huge honor, and I'm really looking forward to it, to give you a couple of the things I've discovered that worked for me. Of course, as you all know, these are all individual paths we have to follow. We have to pick out the things that we can use, that we enjoy. So I'm gonna go over through some of these when we start running in a moment, but I thought we'd just do a tiny quick warm-up if you haven't warmed up already. So I suggest we do a couple of lunges first. And if you haven't done lunges before, it's just a big step forward and bending a bit in the knees and shifting the legs. So let's do a couple of these first. Let's do just two on each leg to start with. And as we're doing these, let's just talk a little bit about warm-up, which I think is an essential part. Let's do a couple more now that we're starting to move. I used to start just in cold, basically, and the muscles were not warm, and I would use the first 10 minutes to warm up the legs. But I realized the more of this kind of tiny exercises you do before you put any real pressures on the legs, the better the run actually feels. Let's do a couple more lunges just sideways, like take a big step sideways and bend the knees as well. That's it, and do the other side. And do the first side again. And do the other side, okay. You can do a couple more if you feel up for it. And let's just do one backwards as well. So take a big step backward and bend the knee that is in front, the one that stays on the floor. Okay, let's do a couple of these. All right, this is also a mini stretch for the muscles. All right, next, if you have anything you can hold on to, otherwise try and see if you can keep your balance. Let's do some leg swings. Just take one of your legs and swing it back and forth, like in a big movement. Just get it going, get the blood flowing a bit, and switch legs. Okay, now try to swing the legs like in front of you, if you were like crossing over you back and forth. doesn't have to be perfect. Just get the hip joints warmed up a bit and do the other leg. All right. Do a couple of circles with your knees, like lift your knee up, bring it out to the side and down. Do a couple of these with one side, move to the other side. Okay. Try do circles the other way around. If you went clockwise, go anti-clockwise or counterclockwise. And try the other leg, the opposite direction of you did in the beginning. Okay, that's a mini warm-up. So, if everyone is ready, get your hand on your watch. If you're using watch, I don't. But let's go. Start now. So yeah, as we're just getting the first few steps done, we're, I'm starting on an uphill. That's always good. Let's see, I'm not really used to talking while I run, so I won't guarantee you that I am. I'm not gonna get completely gassed and run out of things to say, but let's see how it goes. Okay, just as we're starting, one thing I want you to do is to quickly look back over your shoulder, look at the point where you started your run, and imagine that point, draw a big circle around it. I'm just crossing over a motorway. Don't worry, I'm on a bridge, but there might be some noise. If you imagine where you started, draw a big circle around that area, and now mentally take the intention of putting down everything you've been thinking about so far today. Try to put down your worries, your plans, all the things you are rummaging about. Leave them there. Put them in that circle like you were putting down a piece of luggage. Even put down your intentions. Put down your expectations about what this run is going to be. Leave it all there. Start afresh. This run here is just about enjoying getting out there and moving around. We'll come back to our luggage, our mental luggage later. So think of this as a small break, a holiday. I mean, normally you bring your luggage on holiday, but we're just leaving it at the hotel if you want and going out exploring. So we can start this run like relaxed and without all the worries and the thoughts and the plans and all these other things. We can do that another day, in another moment. Right now, let's just get warmed up as we get going. And I know, of course, we can't control our thoughts. We're not some kind of Superman that can just block out every thought we have. But that isn't really the point either. It's just having no expectations. Just moving along through space, through time, without any big plans about this run. Okay, I will do what Tina does as well. I'll do like half an hour and I'll let people know when that half hour is up, more or less. And then we'll go on to 45 minutes. If I'm not completely out of breath by then, because I can already feel my breath is getting a bit harder. It's also extremely hot in Madrid, which isn't the optimal running weather. This is not my favorite, but you've got to adjust right now. I'm in shade behind the building, so it's not too bad. All right, so we'll do what she usually do. What she usually does, we'll check in. We'll check in with our bodies. We'll check in with our mind. We'll see how we feel on that. And then we'll move on to a couple of exercises I've thought of sharing with you. So first, let's do a body scan, much like the ones Tina usually does. And again, I suggest, like her, start at the top of your head, see how it feels. We're gonna move down through the body step by step. I'll give you some light guidance. So let's start at the top of the head. Move down. Notice the area around your ears, your forehead. Are you tensing up? How about your eyebrows? Are you frowning? I'm a little bit frowning here, mainly because of the sun. Even though I got my sunglasses on, I still feel the glare. But yeah, feel your eyebrows. Try to relax them if you can. Move down to the jaw. Are you biting? Are your jaws relaxed? Maybe even move your hands up for a second and just massage your jaw muscles a bit. How about your neck? Your shoulders? Are you hunching your shoulders? Are they relaxed? How about your arms? Are they moving freely? Do they feel relaxed? How about your hands? Are you holding them in a fist? Are you relaxing your hands, your fingers? How about your torso, your lungs? How's your breathing? I think mine is getting a bit more under control now. How about your stomach? How's your core? It's probably one of the areas that I do recommend that should be engaged. Whatever that means, they always say engage your core. I hope you can figure out somehow to engage your core. Move down to your hips, your thighs, your knees. Notice your calf muscles, your ankles, and your feet. Notice your feet hitting the ground. Now in this scan, were there any areas that you felt the need to loosen up? Any areas you felt a little bit sore, maybe from a previous workout? Maybe you did a long run this weekend. Maybe you have a small niggle you're trying to combat. Just notice how that feels. And we'll check in again later to see how it feels. Now, I'm basically just copying Tina, because isn't she just great at doing this, but a lot of the techniques she's using are standard mindfulness strategies. So we'll do the same thing as her by focusing on the senses. Okay, but I'm gonna put my own little twist on them, and I hope it won't confuse you too much. So we'll start with taste, okay? But instead of trying to figure out, just gonna cross the road quickly, instead of figuring out what it is you're tasting, like we often think, that taste of that bagel, taste of coffee, taste of toothpaste. Try to notice the taste, not what it is that you're tasting, but the taste itself. Or perhaps you have no taste, which is more or less my case. But if you do taste something, is it sweet? Maybe it's just bland. Is it a bit bitterness? Maybe you had coffee. What exactly are the flavors that you notice? What about smells? Same thing. Try not to think I'm smelling a tree or I'm smelling the exhaust from a car. Try to notice the smell itself, like what does it actually smell like? And smells is one of these senses that are really hard to describe. We don't have a great vocabulary, or at least most people like myself find it really hard to describe smells without referring to this smells like citrus or this smells like flowers or something. But try to see if you can smell just a smell without thinking about what it is. And what about touch? What about the feel of your skin? Again, you might think I'm feeling the wind, but how does that actually feel like? Is it cold? Is it like a gentle stroke or massage? In case it's raining, how does the rain feel? How would you know that it's actually wet? What about temperature? What signs is it that lets you know that this is warm or hot, like here? And if we move on to sight, this is one of these senses that are really, really dominating in our society. And it's also one of these that are really hard to escape naming the things that we're seeing. So you look, for example, I see a red car. It's the first thing I think is red car. I see a big building. A person just walking past me. But let's try and change how we see things. So let's imagine you were a painter and focus on a point in your distance, if you can, if it's safe. If you are on the trails or running in a city with a lot of people, maybe do this at a later moment. But see if you can focus on a, let's just take like a square out ahead of you. And when you look at it, imagine you were a painter and you had to describe this. So you had to put down the measurement. What colors would you choose? What are the colors? What about the shapes? Are there straight lines? Is it chaotic? Messy? Organized? What about the tone? Is it warm colors, cold colors? Focus not so much on what it is you're seeing, but how you're seeing these things. And if you can't really focus on something in your distance, that's fine. Imagine you're a painter and who had to kind of describe the things you were just passing right now, which would probably be like one of these blurry photos that you sometimes take by mistake. And you see the lines moving. But again, what colors? What elements are there? What does it express? A softness, a hardness? It's just a different way of looking at things. And we'll do it with sounds. Sounds is one of my favorite objects to focus on. So the same thing. I'll give you a couple of instructions, and after that you can either take off your headphones. If you're wearing headphones, you can take out just one. I'll leave you some silence at the end of it for a bit, so we can listen to our surroundings. But once again, don't try to analyze what it is you're hearing. So don't think like, that's a bird, that's a car, I hear a plane in the background. Try rather to focus on, how does that actually sound? Is it, what is the tone? Is it a high tone? Is it a low tone? Is it more to your right? Is it more to your left? What's the quality of it? Is it harsh? It's a soft sound. Okay, so try to listen to the sound itself. I'm gonna give you a pause now. I'm gonna be quiet and let you listen. And one more thing you can notice as well as you got your ears set, is notice how the sounds change. Notice how the sounds come and they go and they enter, they start, they end. So I'll be silent for a bit. Keep your ears out. I'll get back to you in a moment. So as you've probably noticed, the world of sounds is constantly changing. It's changing in relation to where we are. It's changing in time. Even each sound has like different qualities. They might start like very with a hard impact, and end in a soft tone. Now, one of the reasons why I really enjoy using sound so much for really as an object of meditation is there are a lot of parallels to the world of sound and our thoughts. A lot of times, our thoughts are just like sound. They pop into our brain. We don't always know where they come from. Sometimes they're good thoughts, sometimes they're bad thoughts. But they can be related to something that we have happened to us recently, in the past. They can be related to things we're planning to do later. But where do they actually come from, our thoughts? That's one of the big mysteries. Of course they come from us, but who sits down and produces these thoughts? Who makes these thoughts? I'm sure you've all had the experience of racing or doing a hard workout. Suddenly thoughts pop into your mind like, stop running, it's too hard, slow down, you can't do it. Obviously that's not you, that's not how you want to think. You want to keep going, but there is like these voices that just keeps coming into our mind. And it's the same with sound. We don't always control our environment of sounds. One thing that I used to notice when I started meditating, it said you would be sitting there nice and quiet, and suddenly you could hear the neighbors banging on something in their house. Or you could hear the garbage truck outside the window, and you would feel like, oh, everything's ruined. I've lost concentration. But that is actually perhaps not the best way to look at these things. So I'm going to give you a recommendation to think about how you relate to the world of sound, which can then be applied to so many other aspects in your life. So one thing our brain constantly keeps doing is putting things into categories. And that can be just simply naming things, as we saw in the beginning, like, that's the sound of a car passing me. It's the sound of a bird. But the other thing we also constantly do is judging things. So we divide our world into good sounds and bad sounds. The music we like, it's beautiful sounds. The neighbor banging pots and pans, rather not hear that. But when you think about it, it's all just sounds. There isn't any real value or any inherently good things or bad things about sounds. It's how we relate to them. It's our interpretation of them. So we often think of bird sounds as pleasant, the sounds of nature, babbling river, very relaxing. Who doesn't like lying on the beach, listening to the waves lapping on the shore? These are good sounds, right? Sound of traffic, planes, trains, noisy lawnmower. Yeah. Those sounds we don't like. These are bad sounds, right? And of course they are. Sounds of alarm, there's sounds that startle us, there's a physical reaction we cannot escape, that's normal. But we can always, after the initial surprise, perhaps, we can always go back and think, it's just a sound. It's just a sound. And how does all this relate to thoughts then? Well, same thing we can think about when we are out running and we get to one of these points where thoughts come into our mind. We're struggling. The thoughts come up like, you can't do this. It's too hard. Of course, these thoughts are somehow trying to tell you something. It's information, but they're also just thoughts. Like often when we think that you can do it. It's worth taking a second and just look around you and say, well, I am actually doing it. Right now I'm doing it. I don't know how long I can actually keep doing it, but right now I am doing it. The thoughts are like sounds entering the mind, and no one actually says that we have to pay attention to them. I mean, it's probably wise not to always ignore our thoughts, but instead of just reacting to them and like, I can't anymore, okay, I really can't, stop, and then stop, just take a second, think about, okay, there's a thought, this thought is telling me something, notice that thought, okay. I'm just gonna cross the road here. And the same with a lot of the other thoughts we have that relates to any kind of aspects in our life. Thoughts, they come and go. And I'm sure you've all had this experience of thinking something. The next minute you're thinking something else. 10 seconds later, you're thinking of a third thing, etc. And each thought seems to be super important. Seems to be the most central thing in the world, what you're thinking of right now. But if you go back just a minute, what were you thinking about a minute ago? You might even have forgot it. So we don't have to be always just obeying every single thought that comes to our mind. Again, we don't have to completely ignore our thoughts. Our thoughts are information. They can tell us things. But maybe we can just create a little bit of distance to them. Maybe we can create a little bit of space between the thoughts we have and what we want to do with them. Okay, we're getting up to the half hour mark in just a couple of minutes. In the Facebook group, I'm also known as the person who almost always do strides. So if you're up for doing a stride or two, we'll do 2 strides now. And then we'll call it a day for the 30 minutes. This has been an honor to run with you. I hope my ramblings haven't been completely off-putting. So just before the strides, we're not going to stop, we're just going to go straight into them. But just take a very quick body scan, top to bottom. Just notice, how do you feel? Any tightness? Do you feel warmer? What about the sore knee from the beginning, or the tired calf muscles? How do they feel now? Whatever you remember from the beginning, has there been any change? Okay. So if you're ready to do a stride, I'm gonna count down. Check that you have space for doing it. You're not just coming up to a traffic light or having to cross a field or something. I don't know where you're running. So let's get ready. 3, 2, 1, go. And you don't have to sprint. Just get some speed in there. Move. Move faster. Okay. And come to back to normal running again. If you were planning on stopping after 30 minutes, why don't you either walk, or if you're okay for it, keep running very easily. If you're planning to keep going, I suggest you keep running and just let yourself catch your breath. These strides shouldn't be extremely hard. They shouldn't knock you out completely, but yeah, you will notice your breath rising a bit. One of the reasons why strides are so great to do is that A, they're super fun. Everybody loves running fast, right? And it's not something hard. You're not going to be needing to lie down afterwards. But the second important part as well is that you train those fast twitch muscles, the one you need for racing, the one you need for your interval workouts. If we never run fast, how can we expect to run fast on race day? And there's a whole long explanation behind it, with the neuromuscular connectors and pathways and stuff like that. But if you're into all that, you can search for strides and probably find lots of good explanation why you should do them. But for now, let's just do one more, and we'll say that's the 30 minutes group signing off. Ready? 3, 2, 1, go. And these should feel controlled. You're not running to rescue a little puppy that is in the middle of the motorway. You're just running fast. Control your arms, control your legs. Don't overstride. You're not trying to take longer steps. You're just speeding up a bit. And that's it. Come to either to a walk, or come to an easy run again. Okay, 30 minute group. Thank you. You've been wonderful. I probably forgot to tell you when to turn around, but I hope you're closer to where you started. You're doing a circle route, and I invite you to go back in to your starting circle and pick up your baggage. We can call it the mental baggage. Your thoughts, your plans, your worries. And return to your day. And remember, just like we did a bit of warm-up, I also recommend a bit of cool-down. Like, if you like doing a bit of light stretching, that's good. More leg swings are always good. I prefer doing something dynamic like that, but that's up to you. Just don't stop cold and like do a bit of a walk, for example. And hopefully you can bring some of these thoughts about how we relate to our world of thinking into your day. Whenever a negative thought pops up in your mind, just notice it. Think about it like a sound that is popping up. Don't judge yourself. It's just a thought. There's no need to be too harsh on yourself. They're just thoughts. We all have them. I have them. It's a human experience. People who are always smiling and seeming so carefree and saying everything is fine all the time, probably not. But be kind on yourself with these thoughts. Don't let them get to you. Forgive yourself for having them. It's okay. You're okay. That's, as I said, it's a human experience to have good thoughts and bad thoughts. There's nothing we can do about it. So don't feel bad if you're feeling bad. You'll need to add another layer of sadness on top of that, or blame, or hating yourself for having bad thoughts. Notice them and know that just like the sounds, they come and go. All right, so for the 45-minute group, I want to do another little exercise that is related to focus and just letting our mind wander. Like to get an idea of how it is when our mind is running wild and how it feels to be focusing. So obviously what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to guide you, and this might be a little bit artificial, as unless you're listening to this, you have to kind of like guide yourself to the focus, but you might be able to pick up a few techniques about the focus. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to give you a couple of instructions to follow, to focus on one point. And after that, I'm going to give you a moment just to let your thoughts run wild. And then we'll go back to focus, and then we'll see how the thoughts are after that. So what I want you to do, first of all, is to find a point of your focus. And obviously a lot of time that's our work, that can be our children, that can be cooking, it can be whatever we're struggling with. But today we're going to focus on something just very, very simple. And usually in meditation, that's the breath. And you can focus on the breath while you're running. Why not? It's not as calm and relaxed as deep as when you're sitting on the cushion. But again, we don't need to judge that. That's just how it is. And the breathing is a typical object of meditation, as I said, but for some people as well, it can be a little bit stressful to think of the breathing, because then often we start changing our breathing. And if one thing I found that is really not effective when you're running is try to control your breathing all the time. The breathing should be natural, in my opinion. But again, whatever works for you. But I know there are people who are trying to do the two breaths in and one breath out, and I don't know, whatever rhythm then when they're running. And if that works for you, fantastic. But this is not the point of this focus exercise. What we'll do instead is we'll focus on our hands, and more specifically our fingers. So I want you to notice your hands. If you have them in a fist, maybe open them up. Let your thumb and your index finger touch. Like if you're holding a piece of paper or something between them. And this contact point is going to be our point of focus. Something as simple as that. So put your thumb and your index finger together. Notice how it feels. First of all, how does it feel? Do you put a lot of pressure? Are you barely touching? How does the skin feel? You can rub them a bit together. Are they sweaty? Mine are. Mixture of sweat and sun cream, probably. How do the fingers feel? Might be hard to discern if they're warm or cold, but mean, I don't know, maybe you're even running with gloves. I don't know. We got runners from all over the world. How does that feel? How does the glove feel? And notice, as they're touching each other, if there's any kind of buzzing. Do you feel light, electricity, or I don't know how to describe it. Do you feel any sensation between the thumb and the index finger? Start noticing how it's moving. Again, moving through space, moving up and down. If you hold the hand loose, you might be able to feel slight vibration from the impact of your feet. And just think of holding that piece of paper very lightly. And I'm going to give you just a little bit of silence. And it's okay if your mind starts wandering for a few seconds, but just try to hold the attention on your thumb and the index finger. Are you increasing the pressure? Are you losing the grip? How does it feel? And if your mind wanders, it's okay. Just bring back your attention to your thumb and your index fingers. Do you feel any difference between the left and the right hand? Okay, now that was the attention part. And that might be very hard for some people. I mean, it's not always easy to focus on one thing when we're constantly bombarded with so much information and images and sounds and all the other things that are trying to steal our attention. So this is going to be the opposite now. I want you just to stop thinking about anything in particular. Go back to thinking about the things you're going to be doing later. Something that's worrying you. Think about, I don't know, politics, family members. I'm going to just be quiet and let your mind go wild. So just think of anything you want. Gotta do some shopping later. House could do with a bit of cleaning as well. There's like tasks on my mind. It's a curious building. Running past, covered by a big net. I wonder if they're gonna demolish it or what's the reason for that. Just passed the inspection of my car. So it's okay for another year. I don't know where your thoughts are going, but mine are going all over the place. So that's how the mind is regularly, you know? Just going crazy. And I think we're coming up to the 45 minutes, so we'll just do a quick focus back on the thumb and the finger. And then we'll do some strides and we'll say that's it for today. So go back thinking about your thumb, your fingers, put them together. Had you let go of your grip from before while you're thinking? Have you maintained it? Think about how the fingers are joined to the hand, to your arms, to your elbow, your shoulders. Think about your shoulders. Are they loose? Are they hunched up again like in the beginning? Are you relaxed? Bringing the focus back to the fingers. Still sweaty, hot, cold. How do they feel? How's the pressure? Any bars? Any difference between the right and the left? What do you feel? Okay. That's a concentration part. So that's the basic difference between focus and letting your mind wander. And we do both. We do it all the time. But this little exercise is just to show you that it is possible to direct your attention, to focus on something. And sometimes that can be very, very useful. All right. Let's go into do the stride now, and we'll end with that. I think we might have even moved into nearly 50 minutes. Hope you're okay. Otherwise, you can stop, do the stride another day. So ready? 3, 2, 1, go. And while you're doing the strides, you can also use the idea of focus. Focus just on the legs. I have to duck under some trees. How do the legs feel? As they're moving, as they're swinging. All right. Come to a slow. Good. And you can choose to walk it out or run very easily. We'll do another one in a minute. Just catch your breath. Almost considered your workout done. Again, this has been a privilege. It's been an honor. And it's actually been quite fun. I have to say, I was a little bit nervous about doing this because you're running around talking into a mobile. But then again, I'm not the only one running around talking into a mobile, so it's not too bad. I was a bit concerned if I had enough things to say, but time actually just flew past. So, hope you enjoyed it. Hope you had a good time. And for those who turned off a long time ago, they are lost, right? Okay, good. You ready for one more stride? Actually, I'm gonna turn around because I'm coming up to a traffic light, so I don't wanna cross just there. Where can we go? We can go over here. Sorry for the delay. And if you're ready, we go in 3, 2, 1, go. Fast, good controls. Don't flail. Just enjoy the speed. Enjoy the wind. Enjoy running. Enjoy your day. Have fun. Put a smile on your face. Why not? Come on, push a little bit more. Okay. That's it, guys. You did it. All right. Come to a walk. Come to an easy run if you want to cool down a little bit more. Maybe you want to keep going. For me, it's been just around 50 minutes, I would say. I really hope this has been recording. Otherwise, I'm happy to do it again. This was quite fun. Everybody, have a great day as you go back to pick up your mental baggage from the start point. I'm not too far away. I got all my thoughts and plans sitting there. And I hope I've been able to distract you a bit for the last 45 minutes, 50 minutes, I think we sneaked into. So, thank you very much. And I'll turn it back over to Tina to let us out of this podcast, okay? Everyone, thank you. Bye.
Before we end this episode, I just want to take a moment to shout out my podcast editor, Jeremy Nessel, who has done such a wonderful job of looking after my podcast, taking out all the mishaps in the episodes, while still keeping in the vulnerability and the realness and the rawness of the conversation. This is not one of those podcasts where I take out the ums and the ers and the sometimes the delay in words, because I think it's very important to keep that authenticity. We're surrounded by perfected and manicured everything, and I think it's really important that Running for Real stays that way. So thank you to Jeremy for your work. I also want to thank Maria Vargas and Amber Moore, who are also part of my team. They've been a big part of this community and me being able to build this brand, so just want to give them a shout out too. All right, let's get right back to the end of this episode.
So thankful to David for doing that Together Run for us. So cool. And I would love to hear your thoughts. Should David do another one? Be honest. But I also, I mean, personally, I really enjoyed that. I got to do a Together Run myself on one of my runs and I loved it. And I think he did a wonderful job, especially with having no practice, no experience doing this. But I think it was just a fantastic way for us to be together. So be sure to take some photos, share them on social media. And if you are enjoying these, if you could go support me on Patreon, that would mean a lot and really allow these to continue going, especially as there was no sponsor in this one. That's one way you can really help me out. So you can find Running for Real on Patreon if you want to support the community. We'll be having another Together Run next Monday. I will be back on it and I will be reporting from Michigan. So I'm excited to share that with you. And we will be having a regular Running for Real episode on Friday, so stay tuned for that. Thank you so much for listening, friends. I'll see you next week.